Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Hello.
What is that?
Trying to pace myself.
Ahoy. Ahoy.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I liked it.
It's a grind today.
It's
a grind. I don't know how I'm going to get through it.
I liked it.
It's like a marathon. I'm really trying to pace myself. That way I have enough energy to finish the broadcast.
You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that.
Well, I do. I don't think I can just get up and leave.
Yeah, we got a short show.
Yeah.
Turn and burn today.
It's like the olden days of having the Mariners.
How about that, guys?
Yeah.
2 days in a row.
Possibly three tomorrow, depending on what happens.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we don't know what's happening. We might have a late show tomorrow.
Wait, yes. Who are they playing today?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's beat Notre Dame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Good. So, that's good for the West Coast.
Depending on what happens, if Oregon wins, we'll have a short show, but it will probably be a start later show.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Well, we don't know. We won't know until the final results are in.
Oregon's playing out there in the Maui Invitational, which is not out there. It's here in Vegas.
Yes. Even though even though the team from Hawaii is still the host team, even though they had to travel farther than anyone else to get to Las Vegas.
That's true. The host team had to go further.
It's all very clear.
Although I don't know if that's true, though.
Who else?
Is there somebody from the East Coast in this tournament?
I don't know, but Hawaii is quite a bit of a
trek. The furthest east would be Notre Dame.
Is it longer to get from the West Coast? No, say Vegas. Is Vegas to Maui longer than, say, Vegas to New York City?
For reference, my flight tonight, which is to New York or to New Jersey, is about 5 hours.
So it's about the same.
Okay, I'll look here and see what we've
on the way back. It's longer because of
a massive wager.
The winds.
Yeah, the winds.
Oh, yeah, that is true. You know, you got that whole... it's 5 hours and 44 minutes
for
if you took a direct flight from Vegas to Honolulu.
Okay, so it's shorter to go to the East Coast.
Yes.
4 hours, 50 minutes, Vegas to New York.
So we can confirm.
So Chaminade traveled the furthest.
The furthest.
Unless there's a team from, say, Beirut.
That is true. Or like maybe
or
like
even
Nassau
London.
Or something. If there's a team from the Bahamas or jolly old England. Yeah, people kind of, we get spoiled because of that whole air travel
it's
thing.
Way out there.
Hawaii is way the F out there.
Yes. Way out there.
Alaska and Hawaii are sneaky far away. But on the map, you don't really, you know, you're like, oh, it's right there. No, it's a decent distance.
Way out there.
Yeah. I did, you know, I watched 60 Minutes because I'm 1,000 years old. And
I love 60 Minutes.
Yeah. And there is a
no Jane Pauley Sunday mornings on CBS, but
well, you're 1500 years old. I'm only 1000. I haven't ventured into
I have
the
60
Jane
Minutes on my DVR.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the new one yet.
This last one, you know, the Concorde shut down like 20 years ago.
Okay.
No more supersonic flights. No more. Gone. But there's
stupid.
There's multiple companies now. Well, I didn't know exactly why they shut those down, but it turned out there's pretty good reason for it. One was just the cost. It was outrageous. And two, you can't fly over land. You can only fly over water.
Really?
Yeah, they did a study. And because, you know, it was only really from New York to London, right? That was the Concorde. It was British Airways, and that was the only route. And I always thought it was interesting that was the only one. Well, it turns out they ran a test for like 6 months, and they flew it over a town in the United States, and I don't remember which town it was, but the sonic boom, I guess, like over and over multiple times a day, it was breaking the foundation of buildings, shattering windows, and like rupturing eardrums.
Really?
Yeah. So like the FFA, FFA, not F.
Not
FA,
the future farmers.
Not the future farmers, the aviation people. They said, no go. It's like they literally showed this town that they were flying over and it was cracking foundations and like taking the brick off of buildings.
Can't say I knew that.
Yeah, the sonic boom apparently is significant. So eventually it just the cost of it and you were only able to make transatlantic flights over the water. They said no. But there's two companies now. One was Lockheed Martin and the other one was like a startup company. And they are developing a way to get rid of the sonic boom. There's like some sort of contraption on the top of the plane and they're going to turn it into a thud. So they said it'll just like the boom will happen and then like something on the back of the plane will absorb it. Mm-hmm. And then like it farts it out with just this little thud. And so the idea is they said that within maybe 10 years that we could now have breaking sound barrier flights, subsonic or supersonic flights.
Okay.
And it
over land.
Over land.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when was the Concorde?
I think their last flight was like 15, 20 years ago.
I feel like it's taken them too long to figure this out. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean,
can't be that hard.
And that was kind of it was an interesting piece. If you have it, watch it on 60 Minutes. And then it led me down a rabbit hole and I read two articles about this. And they were talking because they briefly mentioned in the piece, but in these articles I read, they kind of pointed out that of all the technology we have, from cars to trains to whatever, that nothing has been stuck as far as speed-wise since the last 20 years, quite like aviation. In fact, we go slower now than we did 20 years ago to save on fuel costs. So we actually, our travel time has actually gotten worse over the last 20 years. And that was kind of where these people were like, well, what the hell are we doing? But there was just this idea because of the sonic boom and you couldn't fly over land, there wasn't any money in it. And so everyone just was like, well, this is as fast as we can go. There's nothing we can do about it. The FFA had shut it down. And so no one picked it up. Everyone just kind of moved on from it. And it just kind of sat there until recently when people were like, well, this is unacceptable that everything else is getting better, more fuel efficient, faster, and airplanes haven't.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Look at all the technology and how far it's come in all walks of life. And yet we're flying the same damn airplanes we flew in the 80s.
Yes. Now they said,
what's that about?
Well, they did say that as far as like autopilot and safety and stuff like that. But as far as the actual,
they still have ashtrays in them.
As far as the actual travel time and whatnot. And then the other thing they said is it's so expensive to create a new airplane.
I'm so tired of that.
Well, it's
I don't care.
It's a lot.
Yeah, well, I don't care. Guess how much they're charging you and I for these flights? They're charging us for our bags. They made billions, $4.5 billion in just baggage fees last year, and that was COVID.
Yeah, they said.
So come on.
They
that.
Said just to develop the model for this, and it's not a passenger plane. They said this is just kind of the test one. They said, I think the guy, it was like somewhere between $9 and $15 billion. That you have to raise in order to do this. And that's just to come up with the prototype.
That's a lot of bag fees.
It's a lot.
And now, then wait.
When Boeing or Airbus, whoever came up with their latest airplane, their 7 whatever, and that's with giant manufacturing plants already ready to go, which the startups don't have. But they said just to do that, to create a new airplane, a new model, they said it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 to $6 billion. To come up with one of these. So it's astronomically expensive to create a new airplane. And that's using the same technology, let alone come up with something that, you know, can break the sound barrier without breaking windows and walls.
Well, where are the Wright brothers when you need them? They need to come up with something cheaper.
Well, they're working on it.
Oh, good. They're still alive.
I'm guessing that there's, you know, maybe like the ghost of the Wright brothers.
Dig them
or
up,
something.
Put them to work. You know, I don't. Okay. So many questions have come up while you were speaking there.
Yeah. Well, again, I went down a rabbit hole on this.
Wait,
like an hour.
The Concorde is the name of the flight, right? Or the name of the plane?
That was the name of the plane.
And it flew from London to New York?
Yes.
How long was that flight? How fast did it make it?
I want to say it was like in 3.5 or 4 hours that it got to London.
Okay. And I've taken that flight. I mean, I've flown from New York to London, cuts, and I don't remember how long it was.
It cuts it about in half.
In half, seven hours. Okay. Okay, that's good.
So the last Concorde flight was November 26, 2003.
Okay.
That was the last one.
How many did it? Did it fly a bunch across there?
Yeah, I mean, it was operational for a while, but that was the only flight that, and it was really expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is super, because the fuel and everything, it's not really a practical thing.
Well, they need to make it practical. Two things that I can't believe we don't have. One, as I've long mentioned here, the 4-day work week, and two, high-speed trains. I don't know why we don't have those.
Well,
that is beyond me. Now, the supersonic planes,
yeah,
as you were saying, a little different story, you know, but I still think that this is unacceptable. I feel like, you know, you look at the technology these days and look at what Bezos and Musk are doing. Come on.
Yeah. Well, they're working on it. So
who's working on it?
Well, there's two companies.
Bezos?
No.
None of those. See, they're working on space travel. I think they need to be working on this, not space travel.
Well, it'd be nice, too, if we could, like, fix, I don't know, like, education and clean water, too. But, yes.
Now you're just getting greedy.
It'd be nice to, you know.
But, I mean, come on.
To fly a little bit.
We need to get places faster. That's very practical.
The one that I don't understand, like, is the train thing. Because
that's what I just said.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was agreeing
with you.
Why
do we not have high-speed trains?
It's the cost of it. And be
again,
state to state. You see what happens when we tried to build a bridge, a simple bridge across the Columbia River?
So dumb.
They spent hundreds of millions of dollars planning that thing and it got shot down. Now imagine trying to put a high-speed rail somewhere that crosses multiple state lines. Have fun.
Well, it's unacceptable in my world. And if you elect me, we will not only build high-speed trains, we'll do it on a 4-day work week.
Yeah, so the Concorde flew.
How about that?
At.
Thank you.
1,300 miles an hour.
Okay.
And
I have no frame of reference for.
I think the average plane, I think this like a 737 or a 747.
500?
I want to say they're in the mid fives.
All right. Well, again, even that for 3,500, it's like, meh, I'll just pay 500 and ride the slow one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that fast. I mean, it's fast, but it's not that fast.
Well, it cuts your trip over in half.
Yeah, but it. How many times my cost?
Oh,
it's not commiserate.
I think
somebody said it was $3,500.
Oh, I think in today's dollars, I think it was, you know, because again, this was back in the 90s. I think they said in today's dollars, the Concorde was something for like a New York to London, it would be over $10,000.
Yeah, see, that's dumb.
Yeah.
I'll just fly first class. And go 7 hours.
Well, again,
I'll go on the slow one.
And that's why it went away, is it was really something that was only for the uber rich.
Fix it. Jason, I'm tired of excuses. Get on it. You want to talk about stuff that we need? It's that.
Yes.
That, high-speed trains, and a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The bro.
Thank you, people.
The bro who's trying to do this, the startup guy, his company is called Boom.
Let's go. Boom.
See what he did there?
B-O-O-M.
Yes.
Boom.
Well, the sonic boom. So.
I got it. I got it.
He said his goal is in 30 years.
30.
30 years.
Too slow.
To get.
Next.
Wherever you want to go in the world, 4 hours, mm-hmm. and for $100.
Whoa.
That was his goal.
In 30 years? Let's see. How old are you? 42.
So by when we're
maybe you could get there.
So that was
You'd be in your 80s. Well, 30 years. Yeah, sorry, 70s, early 70s.
There you go.
Wow.
So that was his.
God, can you imagine?
That was his. I mean, that was his dream. But Musk has talked about the Hyperloop.
Yeah.
And that same sort of thing.
I like his ideas on that.
Well,
is he building that? I know he's doing one from Vegas to L.A., right?
I think it was from San Francisco to L.A.
Is that what it is?
And I think they're trying to build like one that's a mile or two long to test it out. But
yeah.
You know, his
that's kind of scary, though.
Well, his thing, what was interesting that I found, that whole concept wasn't necessarily about like leisure or travel. His thing was that everyone wants to work where, you know, big tech is. So San Francisco, LA, New York, places like that. But you can't afford to live there. So his idea was that if you could have a Hyperloop, you could literally live in Omaha, where I think for like two bushels of corn and some hay, you get like a 3,000 square foot home.
Yeah.
And you could wake up every morning, grab the Hyperloop, and in 40 minutes, you could be in San Francisco, work your job.
Let's go.
And then head back to Omaha
that very night. This is what I'm talking about.
And that,
that's
to
why
me,
it's the same thing as like high-speed trains.
Yes.
It's the same idea. It's just get people somewhere fast.
Yes.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
So anyway, why we can't do that, I don't know.
60 minutes.
So Elon's working on that. But it's, would you rather be in the supersonic up in the way up in the air or the underground in the big tunnel?
Underground, big tunnel.
Why?
I don't know why, but I just feel...
You feel safer down in there?
Well, the Concorde flies at like 60,000 feet in the air and it...
Like you're in the womb?
And it goes at, you know, 1,400 miles an hour. That terrifies me.
Really?
The sound that the plane is making is literally breaking buildings 50,000 feet below it. That terrifies me.
What do you think it's like on that thing?
I don't know. But I just give me the Hyperloop. I'll just... Closer to the ground.
Where you don't really, under there, you wouldn't really be able to have any frame of reference for how fast
exactly,
you're going.
Right? And just there. It's the subway better than, you know, than the sky. Hmm. That whole thing freaks me out a little bit. The Concorde and, you know, seeing some of the crashes and the explosions on that thing. Pretty freaky.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, hot aviation talk right out of the gate. That's probably not on the bingo card.
Well, we were talking about being old, and I just saw that on 60 Minutes.
I'll be watching that.
And I don't know if you do this, but every time I see something interesting, it sends me down a rabbit hole where I have to read about it for like an hour.
Of course.
And then you get all excited about the future, and then you realize you're like, yeah.
Then you're an expert on it.
Oh, yeah. I'm dialed in. Me and the future farmers, we've got this thing figured out.
Yeah, you said FAA. That's what you said, right?
I know. And now people
are yelling
at me. I've got like 700 people that are
700.
Like, it's the FFA. I get it.
No, it's the FAA, not FFA. Future farmers do not control the airwaves.
You don't know
or,
that.
I mean, that's the FCC. Oh, no. Future farmers do not control air travel.
You don't know that.
It's the Federal Aviation Administration.
Yes, the FAA. Which is what I believe I said.
Probably some really buttoned up nerdy people in that.
Oh, yeah.
You think they party at the FAA?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think you're allowed to party.
Who parties more, the Accountants Association or the FAA?
I bet the accountants.
You think they're sneaky fun in
Vegas? I've met a couple accountants. They can throw down a little bit.
Mm. All right. Well, we're ready to go. Guys, short show.
Yeah, which we've just killed 18 minutes of. So
I know. Isn't that something? So Oregon's playing St. Mary's tonight, and the pregame is at 4:30 here on The Fan, so we must get to going here. We have your Jamboree. You ready for Jamboree?
We got you.
We're going to do some Jamboree.
Yeah.
That'll be at 4. And then we have our college football playoff rankings today, but nobody really cares anymore around here.
No, it's...
Although I'm interested. I'm interested to see who that fourth...
Cincinnati is intriguing to me.
Are they going
to
be 4?
I think they will, but I hope they don't make it because I don't want to see Georgia and Cincinnati.
Oh, I kind of do.
Do you?
Well, sure. Give them a shot. Why not? Yeah, they went undefeated.
I've seen Georgia and Hawaii. I'm good.
Or, I mean, they're on pace to go undefeated. Yeah. Okay, 318, folks. This is The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, I'm watching, well, we all are, the Maui Jim Maui Invitational here on TV. And Oregon playing St. Mary's coming up here in about an hour. If Oregon wins that game, they will play the winner of Wisconsin-Houston, which looks like a good old slobber knocker here.
Well, and tonight we got UCLA and the Zags.
Yeah, one versus two.
No rematch there.
But that's not the Maui Jim Maui Invitational.
No, it is not. But I do want to see the weird-looking seven-foot kid, the freshman for Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested in
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah,
anybody laid eyes on him yet?
No, I haven't seen them play, but I was kind of reading, and the experts are just in love with his game.
Yeah, I was looking at his game log because I haven't watched Gonzaga yet either. He's playing really well for his first few games. Not like sensational, but for a guy who looks like he shouldn't be nowhere near a basketball court except for how tall he is, he's playing really well.
Yeah, he's averaging 12-7 with like 4 assists so far.
They've already played 5 games.
Yeah, he's shooting 70% from the field. Like there's, when they're reading his little draft profile, there's
You say only or already?
Already.
Okay. Already.
That's a lot, I feel like.
They were talking Kevin Durant, Dirk sort of comps.
What's his name?
Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren.
Chet.
He only had 2 points. They've only played one real team so far.
Yeah.
They played Texas, and that's where Timmy went off.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the highlights of that.
Yeah, they won that. The Zags are undefeated.
Zags are 5-0. They beat Texas 86-74. Holmgren had 2 points.
Oh, well.
In that game.
Clearly he sucks.
So we'll see. We'll find out more about him in the next two. They play UCLA and then they play Duke.
Yeah.
Gonzaga.
I'm just intrigued.
Which is good for them.
I'm intrigued to see him play just because he does not look like, as Mike said, outside of the height that he should be anywhere on a basketball court. But.
Any hoosies. Wisconsin leads Houston. Houston's ranked number 12. And Wisconsin is up 48-39.
Okay.
So if Oregon wins, they would, at least right now, looks like they'd play Wisconsin tomorrow. Again, here on The Fan.
Yes. Time to be announced.
Also, before we get to the poll question, somebody brought up Georgia-Cincinnati playing last year. True, we forgot. Bowl game. Oh. Georgia-Cincinnati last year.
What was the score of that?
24-21 in favor of Georgia.
So it was close.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go Cincinnati then. I still don't want to see it.
I do.
I know a lot of people do.
I also want to see Oregon play Georgia next year.
Yeah.
And guess what? They are.
I just, you know, to me, I just contend that if you play a real schedule, then I'm fine with that. But Cincinnati didn't. Cincinnati played one good team, and that was Notre Dame. And they handled their business.
By the way.
But I said the same thing about Boise State. I'll say the same thing about Central Florida. I hate this. Well, we played one good team. Well, great. Play 6 of them. Play 5. Because even the bad teams you're in a Power 5 conference are better than the schlubs that you're playing. I played in one of those leagues, and I'm telling you, it is a completely different ball game playing in one of those than when you play the big boys. Now, I do think the independents, I think Notre Dame's schedule is brutal. I think BYU plays a very good schedule most years. There's a difference in an independent schedule than when you're playing one of these American conference teams.
I hear you. Where it gets tricky, though, by the way, Cincinnati was up 21-10 in that game,
mm-hmm.
and Georgia scored 2 tutties in the fourth to beat them. As a matter of fact, they had a safety right at the end of the game. They didn't score 2 tutties. They scored a tutty, 2 field goals, and got a safety to
pull it
run
out.
Out the clock.
Yeah.
24-21.
What bowl game was that in?
Is that
one of the New Year's 6?
The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, fella.
Okay.
So I hear what you're saying, but so if Cincinnati goes undefeated,
mm-hmm.
all that you said, there's truth to it. Let's say the other team left standing there is Notre Dame. And they beat them at Notre Dame. I don't know how you could put Notre Dame in ahead of them.
I would.
Do you?
I can simply because of the schedule. But I am a believer that head-to-head trumps everything. Otherwise, why play the game? So as resistant as I am to putting Cincinnati in, that if it comes down to a one-loss Notre Dame and an undefeated Cincinnati, then yes.
It's got to be Cincinnati.
In that circumstance, I would 100% say that it belongs to Cincinnati because they proved it on the field. But I just look at Cincinnati's close games against bad teams, and I believe that if they played in the Big Ten, I believe if they played in the Big 12 or the Pac-12, Cincinnati would be a 3-loss team.
Yeah, no, we get that. It's just, you know, they're not a 3-loss team.
No.
They are undefeated, and if it comes down to a team they beat handily – on the road, I don't know how you could keep them out. But again, there's a lot of football left, so we'll Yeah. We'll see who's left standing.
I just don't like the idea of rewarding a team when you say, okay, you beat Notre Dame and their next best win would be Indiana, right?
They're terrible.
Who else you Navy?
Also terrible?
SMU. And by the way, they beat Navy by 7 points.
There you go.
They beat Tulsa. SMU. They beat Tulsa by 8.
Nobody beats Spike Dykes.
No.
Sonny Dykes.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, all right. Here's our poll question today, 1080thefan.com. Is turkey overrated? Yes, no, or turkey isn't any good in the first place? Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, we know that you're anti. Both of you two idiots have a real anti-turkey stance on this program.
Both of us two geniuses have an anti-turkey stance.
You can call me whatever you want, but yes, I do have an anti-turkey stance. I think turkey is overrated, and Mike added the third part. I wasn't even going to put the third part in there. Mike added that.
Turkey's not good.
I don't know. What you're, it's a ridiculous statement. It just is. Turkey is wonderful. And
so you're voting for no, it's not overrated?
Yes, turkey is fantastic. I get it. There's other meats that are just as good or better than turkey.
Like all of them?
It's an absurd statement.
All of the meats?
All of the meats.
It's an absurd statement. How many other meats have an entire holiday, Mike?
Well, I think that's the whole point.
Exactly. You're just a hater. You're the sort of guy that's like, Duke sucks. No, you may not like Duke, but they don't suck because Duke runs college basketball. Whoa. You know who runs Christmas and Thanksgiving? The turkey.
I think the ham does.
Does turkey run Christmas?
Yeah, it runs.
I think there's more of a ham thing on Christmas.
I can't pretend like I know the answer to this.
That's such
but
a ridiculous
I have
thing.
Heard in my listening of people's Christmases that ham is way more popular than turkey.
Yeah, I love ham. Rum ham, to be exact. All right, well, we've got some NFL stuff, and what's with these 10-year contracts coming up next? But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Now, so, wanted to be fair.
Whoa.
To this holiday Christmas turkey. So I looked to see that there had to be some sort of info on this.
On what?
On
turkey is overrated. It's
who
fact.
Who is making what for Christmas?
Oh.
Thanksgiving, we know, right? That's a gift.
Turkey.
That's turkey.
100%.
But I said that
although the side dishes in Thanksgiving are often very different based on region.
Well, and this is the interesting thing where I wanted to see this about Christmas.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like what's the New Jersey side that I don't that I'm not aware of.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines. I saw this, I guess, Matthew Judon of the Patriots today had a viral clip where he said mac and cheese is bad.
Yeah.
And he said, get it off your Thanksgiving plates, but it's just noodles and cheese. It's not good. And I've never had mac and cheese at Thanksgiving.
It's a hot take.
But I have seen maps that show like people's favorite side dishes.
Yeah.
Tons of like Southern and Midwestern states have mac and cheese as their favorite side dish.
Mac and cheese is a side on Thanksgiving, huh?
Yeah, we make it.
You do?
Yeah.
And we never have at my family, but
you got like yams and cream corn casserole, and there's different stuff depending on where you're at. But when I looked up here, the most popular dishes across our mac fair land, number one and two are not meats.
For Christmas?
For Christmas.
Oh. Whoa. What?
They are the most popular Christmas dish.
Wine.
In 76%
it's mine.
Of tables in America, there is some form of roast potato.
Oh.
In 75%, there is some form of mashed potato. Then we get to the protein. And it's the only protein in the top five.
Well, but is that, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you combined ham and turkey, like I feel like ham and turkey split the votes. It's like an independent presidential candidate.
But it is not, because ham comes in at number 11.
Whoa.
Yes. Only 62% of U.S. households have a ham for Christmas.
That's a lot.
Prime rib is the number two meat.
Come on.
69%.
Is that right?
That's a great number. That's very nice.
Have you ever prime ribbed on Christmas? Well, you're Jewish.
He doesn't Christmas.
No.
But have you ever had prime rib on Christmas?
No, I have not.
I've never even really thought of that on Christmas.
Prime rib and roast beef come in at 6 and 7 respectively, and steak. So 6, 7, 8. All okay. of the meat varieties.
So Christmas is a wide-ranging lead meat protein holiday.
But number three is on the Christmas list, dominating all other meats with a 73% turkey.
It's because people are lazy.
So who runs Christmas and Thanksgiving? The turkey.
Well, that's not dominating. I mean, 73 to 62 is not dominating, but that's more than I would have thought. I thought there would be more hams. I thought it would be closer to 50-50 on the turkey ham split on Christmas.
It also sounds like a lot of households do multiple meats.
Yeah.
Whereas for Thanksgiving, it's usually just turkey.
But everybody has potatoes.
Everybody.
Taters.
That's one and two. The most disturbing part, and then rolls being number four.
I love rolls.
Bread and rolls.
Gluten.
How is disturbing is it that 12 is lasagna?
What? Whoa.
That lasagna for Christmas?
Little Italian flair?
I'm not judging that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. I'd dish that up.
I've never even thought about it.
Smother my turkey with it.
I guess. Like a turkey lasagna? Yeah, I don't know. They just had the most popular Christmas dishes in America.
And then so I would imagine Thanksgiving, it's turkey for like 90% of people, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you know that? I'd like the research department.
You got it.
Department to do some digging on that. Maybe we'll be surprised.
Okay.
Maybe there's a second place for Thanksgiving that we're not.
Well, I will say that I'll bet you ham is fairly high up on people's list for Thanksgiving. But if turkey is running Christmas.
It's literally nicknamed Turkey Day.
Yeah. If turkey is running Christmas.
You think it's over 90?
It's bitch slapping.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's over 90.
Okay.
I would say so.
All right. Where were we?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just thought it was interesting that we had definitive numbers on the most popular dishes for Christmas.
Well, we've got another coach getting a 10-year contract in college football, which we'll get to coming up.
Yeah, stop doing this, by the way.
Yeah, stop.
Why do people do this? They never, well, I can't say never, very rarely do they work out.
We've got a couple of NFL notes. Jason Garrett got fired after last night's crappy Giants performance. He was their offensive coordinator.
And it's the end of Daniel Jones.
I'm not a fan of Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
But is that really his fault? I mean, Daniel Jones is garbage.
With their offensive line and with their quarterback, I don't know how you can judge anyone based on that.
Well, they did.
yes, they did.
So Jason Garrett's available for your favorite team.
Yeah.
If you'd like.
Well, I don't think that's a terrible OC. I certainly wouldn't hire him as my head coach.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's a great OC either, but in that instance, I'm not necessarily sure it was his fault.
I can't fault him for that.
He's not any good.
Yeah.
And then Jones is well on his way to becoming the top backup quarterback for next year.
No, that's going to be Colt McCoy. realize that in those,
you're saying Colt McCoy is better than Daniel Jones?
Yes. In those handful of games, Colt McCoy will have a better contract in 2 years than Daniel Jones. Colt McCoy, who has been in the league for 10, 11 years, longer than you think.
He's old, huh?
He, with that performance that
he's
just
35.
Oh gosh, that's longer. I thought that's probably more like 12 or 13 years. He just guaranteed himself probably another $20 million. We'll say 5.5 to 6 a year, 3-4 more years, just based on what he did in those handful of games.
33 starts, 11 seasons.
Well, he's never going to start again, but
there was one season for Cleveland where he started 13 games.
And probably didn't go that well.
What do you mean probably? They were 4-9.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that he pulled a Chase Daniels there. Every now and then when you're a backup, you get that brief window. And if you prove you can play for 3 games, win some, or you play for 5 and you get a split, you go, 2-3, 3-2. Man, you can cash yourself a nice $6 to $7 million paycheck a year for the next handful of years.
Well, it's just, he's kind of got that. It's like, he's not that good, but he's also not terrible in a sense that he doesn't give the ball away.
Yeah.
And that's half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can make your reads, he's check down city.
Yes. But that's all you want. When you have a backup quarterback, your goal is you're going to play.
Just do that.
Yeah. Don't be dumb. Don't turn the ball over and give us a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
So Daniel Jones, where was he drafted?
He was a lottery guy. I mean, he was in the top 10. I don't remember exactly where he went, but no one since
sixth.
He was sixth. And what year did he come in the league?
19, 2 years.
No one has more turnovers in that time than Daniel Jones.
So Daniel Jones has way more talent than Colt McCoy.
Yes.
But because Colt McCoy has less talent, he's a better quarterback. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So if you could teach Daniel Jones to just be check down Jones, he'd be fine.
Yeah, the problem is that when you're check down Daniel Jones there, you still end up winning 4 games. Like you that's not a feasible game plan.
Well, it is
forward.
With McCoy.
It is to be a backup, but again,
Danny Dimes.
Colt McCoy isn't going anywhere.
What I'm saying is Jones is going to be a backup.
Yes.
He's not going to.
No.
Dude, the Giants are going to punt him.
Yes.
He's not going to get another opportunity unless somebody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. And he needs
to. So there you go.
And he definitely does need to learn. If he wants to be a long-term backup, he's got to get out of this mentality of I'm trying to be a starting quarterback and I'm trying to sling it downfield. You're right. He does
that's
have
what
to
I'm
change.
Saying.
He does have to change his game.
Give the guy a clipboard.
Yeah.
He's going to lose. I mean, he's made plenty of money already. Probably
sure.
Give him a clipboard, teach him to be check down Jones, and he's every bit as good as Colt McCoy.
I think it's harder to teach people that than you realize. I just think it's that the idea of being check down Charlie, I think we all assume is just so easy and it's not.
Well, it's easy for Colt.
He's been pretty good at it.
When that's all you can do.
And by the way, turkey, 89%.
Oh, it didn't get to 90.
Didn't get to 90.
What's the other 11%? Probably all ham and.
Yeah. Ham comes in at number 5. So when you're looking at the American meals here.
Well, stuffing is going to be in there.
Turkey 1, mashed potatoes, stuffing, bread or rolls, and then ham comes in at number 5.
Okay.
So ham's at 67%. So if you're not going turkey, you're definitely going ham.
Okay. That's interesting that there's more ham for Thanksgiving than Christmas.
Yes.
I would have thought more for Christmas.
Nope. And then you got scallop potatoes, sweet potatoes, gravy, green beans, and then there at number 10, mac and cheese.
Can we talk about gravy?
Mac and cheese. Dude, who doesn't? Gravy's so good. And that's the thing, if you go ham, you don't get gravy.
I'm kind of out on gravy.
What?
It just depends.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
It just depends. Depends on how runny it is and what other crap is on the plate that I want to drown in something.
You got to put gravy on it. Don't skimp on the gravy. And by the way, we talked about in Christmas, like 6, 7, 8 were all meats. Outside of turkey and ham, another meat doesn't come in until 17.
And what would that be?
And that's the prime rib.
Man.
So really, Christmas, you get a nice little variety. Looks like Thanksgiving. It's either turkey or ham. There's really not anything else.
Turkey become the Thanksgiving meal of record?
Do we know
that?
Well, Ben Franklin wanted it to be the U.S. seal. They wanted it to be the national bird, not the bald eagle. I think it goes all the way back into like the olden times. The turkeys were readily available and easy.
All right, we've got our Jamboree coming up, but up next, let's talk about the Oregon wide receivers versus the Oregon quarterback. They don't like each other. What does this mean? How do we handle this? Who's winning? What is occurring? Did you see that? They're yelling at each other.
I did see this.
It got ugly.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. 347 on the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, one leftover from a hot, very hot duck talk yesterday was that we didn't get to was the wide receivers, namely Williams, all hot and bothered about Anthony Brown sucking.
Yeah, they showed at least three times where he showed up as quarterback, and then there's reports from people that were at the game saying that there were several heated exchanges on the sidelines that they didn't show on TV. But again, I've heard that from multiple people, but you can't confirm that, but it wouldn't shock me because clearly there was some frustration boiling over. And if you go back and look at that game, Jeff Schwartz tweeted this out. He had a couple clips of it. He does a good job, and he watches the all 22, and he puts together little highlight clips. He's a good follow. It's pretty alarming. The number of bad throws and just missed guys that Anthony Brown had.
That's been going on all year.
Yeah, though. Yeah, he struggles.
But when you get your butt kicked like that, I think it boils over. There were a couple of receivers. I don't remember which receiver was the one that was kept saying.
That was Williams.
Get it up.
That was Williams.
You know, like pointing to like throw it higher.
Yep.
And then Williams at the end of the game, then they separated him. Because Williams was so mad, and Brown walked one way and Williams walked another, and that was it. Do you think that they film that stuff on the sideline, but then they just don't show it to us?
I don't know.
Do you think they sanitize that? Because that's BS.
It's possible that maybe because it's college or, you know, for whatever reason that they don't want to show it. But in the NFL, you normally see it, but you don't get a lot of it in college. So I maybe there is something to that.
Well, they lost what's-his-nuts, Pittman.
They lost Pittman, and then Johnny Johnson and Jalen Redd are both done for the year. So,
but that's injuries.
That's injuries, and then Pittman just left. So,
but Pittman was, the Pittman thing is interesting. I think it ties in here because Pittman was frustrated. He only had 12 catches, and he's frustrated with the quarterback, and he's like, dude, I don't need this.
And Pittman left knowing that Johnson and Redd were both hurt, right? I mean, it wasn't like those were, if you're on the team, we all were like, oh, my God, those guys are out for the year. When you're on the team, you know. So he left knowing good and well that they were losing two of their top three receivers, and that would have bumped up his role, and he still didn't want to be there. So now, I mean, you're left with young guys. I mean, you're left with freshmen. You got, you're going to obviously Devin Williams, and you got Franklin, you got Hudson. But, I mean, this is a very youthful group, to say the least. And you've had a couple decommits.
But it doesn't
at the
really
wide receiver position already.
Does it matter? Brown can't get him the damn ball.
No, he can't.
I mean, it's just at this point, you try to run the ball, win these last two games, get into the Rose Bowl, and I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. I just wonder, how is that a bigger deal than we're making it, or less of a deal than we should make it? In other words, wide receivers getting after Brown, because that got pretty heated down there.
Well, it's a deal this year, and this is a season long frustration thing. We talked about this. I think that Utah was a culmination of the sins of an entire year kind of coming to the head at one game. But there's no way if you're a receiver, you can be happy, one, playing in this offense right now. And the large portion of that being that even when you do throw the ball and you're open, he's not getting you the ball. And it's very limited even when he does, because there really isn't a deep passing attack. So yes, there's going to be some frustration. Do I think it happens going forward? No, because Anthony Brown isn't going to be your quarterback next year. And I've heard some people that are doing the, oh my God, if we don't have a quarterback that can beat out Anthony Brown, what are we going to do next year? Guys do get better. Remember Butterfield and Ty Thompson and the Robbie Ashford. These guys are all very young players. And in the case of Thompson and Butterfield, you're freshmen.
Are they all first year guys?
Ashford's been there, I think, a little bit longer. I think
you don't hear much about that guy.
No, you don't. So whether or not he sticks around, but I think technically they're all freshmen.
Well, I think
because you got the extra year.
That's an important distinction, because if people look at, well, other young quarterbacks like Stroud or whatever, yeah. Is Stroud a true freshman?
I think he's a redshirt freshman.
Right. See, that's a big difference.
Yes.
Is he's already had a year, and then he comes out as a young guy and slings it around like that. I think that's a big difference in seeing what Stroud's doing versus expecting Ty Thompson in his first year, not getting that red shirt. I mean, he will, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's two different things.
Well,
that's a long time to improve, to improve.
Yeah. And look, sometimes it's not even your redshirt year. Like, guys do get better. I was a pretty good college player, right? For 3 years, I was one of the better centers in my conference, and for 2 years, one of the better ones in the country. I can assure you that if you would have seen me my true freshman or redshirt freshman year, there was a lot of like, what the hell is this? I mean, my God, I look at where I was at my sophomore year when the light kind of clicked. So my third year in the program, right? So I had my redshirt year, redshirt freshman year, and then my sophomore year. My sophomore year, the light came on, and it was like, okay, I've got this figured out. My first 2 years, man, I was just trying to figure out what the hell I was doing. You can get a lot better. I've seen guys go from the end of the year when you're like, dude, that your teammates think you're terrible. And then spring practice comes along, and you're like, who is this guy? Like, all of a sudden, he's unblockable. All of a sudden, he grabs everything. Guys do mature, so don't get into this thing about whether it's Ashford or Butterfield or Ty Thompson, that these guys, because they can't beat out Anthony Brown this year, aren't going to be significantly better. Also wouldn't shock me, too, if you ended up trying to find something in the transfer portal.
Ooh, just like that.
Well, look, Spencer Rattler, right, is probably going to transfer out. You've got a couple kids at Ohio State right now that were big-time recruits, and you're now staring at C.J. Stroud, who very well could be a Heisman Trophy winner this year, that you may have to sit behind a couple years. There could be some kids coming from that.
I don't mind the transfer route at all.
No.
At quarterback. But I don't know if a lot of those guys are going to look at Oregon and salivate, in this offense.
That's my only concern about this offense is we've already seen several receivers decommit. We've got a receiver that now has entered the transfer portal. And when you watch this offense, if you're a receiver, it's certainly, or even a quarterback, I get where maybe there's this notion out there of, do you really want to come here and play in a very Wisconsin, old Alabama style offense? I can see where that could be a concern, but the recruiting rankings are really, really good, and they're still landing very, very high ranking commits at all those positions. But I do think it's something that you should probably keep an eye on.
Well, that's where you sell them with Moorhead and say, hey, if you can sling it around, our last guy just couldn't sling it as much. Yeah. So if you can, we're going to do some things for you and help you out and let you throw it.
Yeah.
You know,
were you
surprised they didn't put Ty Thompson in late in the game against Utah?
I am a little bit.
I was like, why even Brown? I mean, they were already frustrated. They already lost the game. Why not give Ty Thompson some reps there?
The only thing I can think of is if there really is a rift on the team, right, and people are struggling with AB being the guy, if you go to Ty Thompson, that probably ends AB, right? That's probably
even just garbage time?
There's a good chance that it just ends it and you create a faction. Because what if he comes in and he has some success against Utah's backups, and then all of a sudden you've got a division in the locker room, and you still have a game against Oregon State and then another one against Utah to try to get to the Rose Bowl? Like, I'm all for it. If you've already lost three games and you're out of it and you're just playing for, you know, the whatever Tostitos, I guess it wouldn't be Tostitos. That's a good bowl game, but like the Red Box Bowl or something. I get just saying, dude, go to the young kid, right? Let's see what he has. But if you're still trying to win the Pac-12, if you're still trying to get to a Rose Bowl and you truly believe that Anthony Brown is your best choice, and at this point, I don't know how you can think any other way other than that Oregon's coaches are 100% convinced, as shaky as AB is, that he's their best choice. That's the only thing I can think of why they haven't given Thompson a shot, is they just think in no way is he ready, and they're not trying to cause an already bigger division inside the locker room and create a controversy.
How many games do you get to play to four. Preserve your redshirt?
I think four.
Yeah, so Thompson's only played in three.
Yeah.
So he's got another one he could play in and still redshirt, right? Is that right? Or do you have to just, is it three and that's it?
No, I think you can play in four, but I
he also has to declare a red shirt, right?
You got to declare a red shirt. And he, I mean, the, it's weird because the COVID, I think he's been in the program 2 years, but one of those years is COVID. So it doesn't really count. So he may have already redshirted the year before COVID. I'd have to go back and look. But I don't know. I don't think he's been there for just
he's
one.
He's a true freshman.
He's a true freshman?
Mm-hmm.
This is his first year?
Yeah.
So have the other two been there? Because they're all technically freshmen, but between the redshirt thing and then the COVID year, it's a little wonky. But there may be something to that where he's trying to hold on to a redshirt.
Butterfield was here for the COVID season.
Okay.
But he didn't play.
Yeah, because they're all listed on the depth chart just as freshmen.
Yeah, so Thompson's a true freshman.
He's a true freshman.
Butterfield was here.
And I think Ashford's been here as well then, too. I think Ashford's been here more than the 1 year.
And he didn't see any action in the COVID year either.
Okay.
But he did play for the baseball team.
So you got a lot of youth and... Next year, you'll see what happens.
So in other words, the wide receiver problem will solve itself if you get a quarterback who can actually throw the football.
I would tend to think that. And I do not believe that they're just going to stick with these young guys. I would be really surprised if a guy didn't come to the transfer portal that had some experience and would push this.
All right. When we return, let's jamboree. Another coach gets a 10-year contract and the college football playoff rankings will be out. It is 4:02 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.